I'm a real deal. I'll shoot your liver out and hand it to you.
Have no idea how factual that is.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, we can get started now. I guess I can clip any of this. Anything else you guys have as far as questions before we get going, or anything you want to talk about?
No, what's relevant? I guess Tony and Chip's a little relevant. You got, I mean,
Evan and I mean, if you're gonna talk one pocket, you got to talk. If it's gonna air tonight, then I would say, you know, you gotta
talk about Justin.
We can certainly talk about Evan and Justin too.
Yeah, but for sure the Masters, I think a little bit. You know, that's what people want to go on. It's right now, so
yeah. Mm-hmm. We're doing another podcast tomorrow too. That one's going to be live for the week, so we'll be talking a lot. We'll be talking exclusively about the Masters on there. But the crew that I have, and if you guys want to start doing this like more regularly, anytime there's a one pocket thing, the crew that I have doesn't give two shits about one pocket. So that's kind of what I was hoping to get potentially. Well, certainly this time, but maybe more in the future if you guys want to do more one pocket talk.
Dom's a fucking expert. Trust me. Ask Dom. Hold on, real quick before we start. Ask Dom his thoughts on Kachi and small pockets. I tell you, it's fucking mind blowing. Okay.
No, we're not talking about this.
But we can. So let's hear it.
All right. Briefly, before you crop this out, but
this is staying.
I have watched Kachi play at his on the Ghost tournaments and gambling. A few different streams on gambling, and it's always on a table that's buckets. Now, keep in mind, while we're having this conversation, Mike has got me on dead tilt. I can't think clearly, and I'm losing my mind over what he's telling me. I'll show you the screenshots. It's very rude. And then I forget that this dude's a snooker champion, world champion. So I said, how do you think he's going to play on tight equipment? I don't think he can get there or some shit. And, Mike lit me up.
No, literally, as he says that, Kachi's fucking frozen to the bottom rail with, like, the one all the way, like, caddy corner, right? Like, maybe, like, 2 feet from the pocket. And with all this clutter in the way, and he fucking just rolls it in like he's Ralph fucking Souké. As I'm reading fucking Dom's message about how he can't play on fucking tight equipment, he just fucking rolls that ball in and then proceeds to run out. A very fucking difficult rack. And
we're talking like maybe
let's get this shit show going.
Certainly a top three. Well, I would say certainly a top three of probably the best cuists Europe has to offer right now. And you think you can't play on tight equipment?
That's how we started the day. And I was like,
it was.
And the funny part is, I've continued to bet with Dom more or less the entire tournament, knowing that he's got these fucking
points
that are just.
No, really I was just really clouded at the moment because you, because of what you said.
You were clouded. All right, let's go. That's
good
where
on
we
you,
gotta
pal.
Start right
good
there.
On you, pal. Well, for anybody who's not part of Patreon, you're not going to get to hear any of that, but that's going to be fun for the little Easter eggs of all the people that are part of the Patreon program. We'll keep that in there. We are joined at the Cue It Up Network today by up here in the top left, Dom. What's going on, Dom? This is actually the first time you've been on the podcast, so why don't you give a little rundown as to who you are in the industry?
I'm located in Florida, and me and Jen have the Dunsky Dungeon, which is in Orlando, and we stream action matches, bet a lot of people, and just kind of discuss and keep everybody up to date with what's going on.
Do your best to lose all the money that you've ever won in your entire life?
You have no idea. I'm still doing the math in my head as you're going live right now.
I may go pawn the phone by the time it's done with.
Oh, man. I run so bad.
And they can check out your work at Dominic Dunn on Facebook, but also the Dunsky Dungeon if you're interested
Dungeon
in getting more of this content.
Hey, you'll see me on Mike's page as well. Maybe
getting
not
torched,
the best
usually with
flattering pictures.
Oh, man. So, and down at the bottom, you've already heard him a little bit, but we got Molina Mike. Mike, what's going on?
Yo, how you doing, boys?
Also can be found at Molina Mike on Facebook. Definitely the I think it's pretty undisputable at this point. I think you're the premier page to follow across pool at this point, maybe short of Matchroom.
He's the pool plug.
I don't know. I like doing what I do.
You got all the action. You got all the upcoming matches. You got the you got all the Matchroom news that you get in trouble for. How's it getting yelled at by Emily for the 14th time?
You know, it was funny because we did that interview with her, and one thing that nobody saw. So, like, we
right
all get on.
Before you go live, you just get torched.
Yeah,
lit, and then she drops the biggest right, bombshell ever.
Like, she was like, we were like, all right, we had already been in a group like this for like maybe like 10, 15 minutes, right? And she introduced, or somebody introduced me to her, whether it was Joey or Mark, and I was like, yeah, you know, whatever. And then, like, literally, Joey's like, all right, so we're going to go here in, like, 2 minutes, guys. And we're like, all right, great. And she was like, oh, you're the Mike that everybody says that talks shit about Matchroom. And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, that may or may not be me.
Yeah.
I was like this. Oh, huh? Yeah? No? Yeah? Okay. Yeah. So I don't know how I played out. Somewhere Joey has that clip, which I paid him a lot of money not to give it to Dom because, you know, it would instantly be all over the place. But yeah, she checked me a little bit, but I think at the end of it, you know, we built some rapport, which is good. And, you know, I still stand by the things that I go. Listen, if they knew, or if I posted half the other half of the stuff that I don't go and say anything about online, come on now. And Nate, you know a little bit of it, so I mean, come on.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yep. I learned from you. One of the first conversations we had was you telling me about you getting yelled at for the first time, and you almost getting banned from all Matchroom events. So I fall in line.
That was pretty bad.
I'm a sellout at this point.
So if you guys want to know the juice, just follow Molina Mike's page.
Yeah, right.
We try to stir it up a little bit.
Yeah, let's try to not get any of us in trouble right now. We're gonna talk about some One Pocket because all the crew that I normally have apparently hates One Pocket. So I got to bring you guys on so I can have a good, long, deep, in-depth discussion. So we're gonna talk about a couple of topics today. One starting out as the Chip and Tony matchup. So I guess we'll open up the floor to you first, Mike. What are your takeaways from the match? What'd you think of it? The final of the match was 27-16. Spoiler alert in favor of Tony. So why don't you take us through your overall thoughts on the match?
Yeah, I watched them, first of all, whenever they played in Oklahoma, like maybe 2 months ago at Chip's place, where Chip dominated. I think it was 9-8 was the game. Tony, to his credit, has got a lot of gamble. He said, let's run it again. And this time they took it from Tony's raffle page and decided to go and do it with Mike and them at Omega. And Chip dominated again. You know, they were playing, I think, on maybe 4.25, but it slid a lot. So balls were going in, you know, pretty easily. And I thought it was going to go and give Chip some trouble. But when I first walked in the pool room, Chip was just making everything. And I was kind of taken back. I ended up firing like at the very end on Chip, but this match I couldn't believe how dominating Tony was. I didn't see it coming. I didn't watch none of the pre-match interview, but I had heard Tony had said like he's got a game plan, but I've heard that shit from Tony before. I kind of took it with a grain of salt, you know, but Tony did, man. I ain't never seen Tony go and squeeze like that. I've never seen him not be so Tony but yet still look so great, man. That's the sharpest I've ever seen Tony Chohan go and play One Pocket.
Especially
and I don't even know when. Yeah, consistency. I think there was only, man, I could only count maybe a couple of games where he just took those flyers that we're kind of used to seeing. But along with his style of play that definitely jarred Chip, that table really got in Chip's head, it seemed like. The conditions were pretty tough. I know the last day Chip kind of made a little bit of a game as far as going like 1-for-1 more or less, but mm-hmm. by then he was already in two.
By then Tony's already spending the money.
Right. Yeah, for sure. And rightfully, I mean, And I've become a really big Chip Compton fan, and it's no secret, you know, Tony's a buddy
hard
of mine.
But both of these players are hard not to like.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they both got Gamble. I mean, for Chip didn't owe Tony nothing to go back to play him in Louisiana. You know, he could have just said no.
And on his own table.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He could have just said no thanks. Yeah.
Or say, all right, I'll play at your place, but I still want the game, or I still want the ball. Or we can play here, but even, you know, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And he took them both on. Yeah, and those conditions in Louisiana, I mean, I'm from the South. I'm right here on the coast. I know how it can go and get when humidity is a factor.
I was gonna say that humidity is different.
Yeah, and the tables go and play different. Yeah, whenever, and real bouncy too, you know, compared to when you go to other, like whenever I head up north, right? So it does change things up a lot. But for anybody curious, they were gambling. Chip showed up early. He wasn't there to go and get paid nothing to go and show up and do it. Now, I'm not saying they weren't paid nothing to go and partake, but I'm friends with both. I'm friends with Chip's side anyway, as far as the stake horse. I didn't know who put in Tony, but yeah, I mean, they were definitely gambling, and for a lot of money, Tony dominated, man. There ain't no two ways about it. You know,
yeah, he did.
Tony squeezed the shit out of him.
So Dom, what you think? What's your takeaways?
I think I counted, you know, he said two games. I think I counted like four Tony shots that he took. And like, obviously you expect Tony to take Tony shots because they're called Tony shots. And I think the commentator did a really good job explaining, like he kept saying, you got a lot of information from the match, because he would say, well, this Tony would do that, but the old Tony would have done this. So he's like giving two different shots. And I think Tony's obviously incredible to watch because he takes those haymakers. But I mean, day one was the score didn't reflect day one. I mean, you had two, it was like four. Tony was at four and Chip, they were fighting for one ball each. Mm-hmm. They fought for one ball each, two racks day one, and two balls two times, I think, day one. So, like,
I'll push back on you a little bit there, because the total or the finish of day one was 9-2, and Chip didn't get positive on ball total until game number five.
Yeah,
I mean, he was negative
through four games.
Through four games,
he was negative. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, I remember.
And so he didn't get
and
a
they got it
ball
down
to
one ball.
Game five.
They got it down to one ball a few times where it may have not been as big of a deficit going into day two.
I would say the second half of day one. Yeah, the second half of day one had tightened up.
I was speaking to Tony in Tallahassee when they had the Southeastern Triple Crown here, and I was sitting out back and shooting it with Tony, and I said, "So I bet on you twice and lost, because I bet emotionally." Everybody knows this is why I peel off to everybody.
Yeah, this is breaking news. Money.
Breaking news.
ATM to everybody. I just love betting the people that I talk to. If they've said hello to me, I'm going to bet on them. It doesn't matter. And I said, Tony, I'm stuck 2,500 with you. You know, what are we going to do about this? He said, he looks at me after he takes his calls and says, bet as much as you can, because I ain't going to be the sucker. He says, the moment I become a sucker to this game, and people think that they could just keep battling me to get me to peel, I'm quitting. And he showed up that day with a total different game plan. It was pretty interesting, to say the least. And I'm a big Tony fan. Jen's a big Chip fan. Jen is obviously the brains of the operation in my life. And she wanted Chip the last two matches. And I was like, no way, Tony can spot this man. And I had to sleep on the couch because Jen was right. Either way, I think One Pocket's the best game to watch personally, rather than rotation being like a.
What side were both of you on for this match?
I had Tony.
No, I think I had Chip.
You did.
I bet it light though.
I avoided this one, but I don't bet nearly what you guys do on these matches, but I've bet Chip. I've bet against Chip the last four times he's played. I bet against him when he played Roberto both times. I bet against him when he played Chip. Nah, three of the last four. I bet on him when he played Scott. I thought he was a big favorite there. But I bet against him three of the other four times. And I went into this match then. I'm like, every time I think this dude's going to lose, he destroys who he's playing.
And I've been there before.
You want to talk about like
betting. I've lost a lot of money betting against Chip. I haven't. It's funny because, and I like Chip now, but you know, for a while I didn't. You know, just his personality on the table, He can kind of, he can talk a little shit, you know, and I wouldn't say he sharks anybody, but, you know, he kind of lets you know he's there.
He's
you
got
know?
That swagger to him.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, but win or lose, you know, and Chip's going to go, and if you're betting on Chip, you'll at least know he's going to give it his all the entire time, because it don't matter in the game.
The last ball.
If he's, you know, 6-3,
he plays
if
like
it's 7-1, like it, mm-hmm. he's going to stay the course. And that kind of like, it was crazy during that match, because there'd be times whenever like he would start off with like, let's say a 5-2, which didn't happen often, you know, but like right. in the second half of the match, and Tony would still come back and steal these games, man, which was completely the opposite. Like, I know the ball makes a big difference, right? But that ball didn't come into play, you know, 12 That's games right. whenever they went and played the last two times, you know? And Chip just didn't look like he could get there in Louisiana with 9-8, you know? Every bit of – yeah.
That Boy. Table's really intimidating. They were rattling.
I mean, going into that event, like I said, I didn't bet anything on this one. I bet the last time that they played, I bet on Tony, and it, you know, I was just so snake bit. I just can't bet against Chip anymore. I think when Chip plays, if Chip's on the card, I don't care if he's playing against Dom. I refuse to bet it. I can't get Chip right, no matter what it is. No, I can't get Chip right.
Chip gets there a lot, trust me, because I've lost a lot of money betting against Chip, so I know all too well. And then I ended up, when I switched up, it's because I smartened up. You know, I realized, like, man, Chip can really go and grind the shit out of you. Like, he really, really can. He can go and turn the screws. And it's funny, because I think it was late day one, I get a text message, and they were like, hey, Tony told his backers that he was going to just, he promised them nothing but old school one pocket. Now, mind you, it's probably like 7-1 at this point. And I said, oh, that's great. Yeah. Okay. A lot of fucking good it does me now when I'm already in a, you know, 8-game hole trying to go and buy out of everything, you know. But this is part of why Tony is so great. Listen, because he goes and gets smoked the last two times and says, let's go again. Yeah. Right. And he doesn't go and knit up where he's asking for something stupid. He goes and get and offers a spot. Gets beat at it twice, then says, okay, let's go and play even. Tony's the only one to go and bark at Dennis. Tony's the only one to go and bark at Alex. Tony's the only one who he don't care who it is.
Josh.
Tony beat Jake. Yeah. He gave Josh like 10-8. Like, I want to say like 6 months ago, whatever it was, whenever we were in North Carolina sometime right. last year. Off camera, he beats Jay Hall for a pretty big set. I think it was something like
it was like 4 hours. No, it was five ahead.
It was it was at Romero's place.
No, they're playing seven ahead, I think. Seven ahead, and it was like 9 games or something like that.
All I know is I had a ton booked on it, and they wouldn't stream it, and I lost all the action.
But yeah, no, I think they were playing seven ahead, and I think he won in like 9 games or something like that.
Yeah, it was
really fast. And Tony, I think maybe like 2 or 3 games came down to a ball, and they're playing even, but Tony just steamrolled them. Yeah. You know, but this is why, like,
Tony the first ball and the last ball are the hardest to get.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Tony can play in front of you. Tony can play in the back corner table. He can play against number one players in one pocket. He can make a bad game. Tony just wants to gamble. He don't care who you are, where you come from. He's got a lot of heart. And now, listen, if you see this guy going and changing his styles the way that he's been, this Tony beats Filler and beats him easily. I don't care. This Tony gives Dennis problems. This Tony can give Alex problems. Now, I'm not saying I'm going to go and bet on Tony if they go and match up, but you better believe that Tony can go and get a lot closer than he ever did playing that style that he's famous for playing, you know, because now we see he can be kind of a chameleon.
He played tight.
Yeah. I mean, Nate, go ahead.
Nate, to your point, you said, you know, you don't want to bet against Chip. Here's what I've learned is obviously there's no secret that Mike is a mentor of mine and he takes me on his wing and kind of, you know, steers me when I'm going crazy, you know, betting the wrong side.
Failing miserably.
He lets me, he's on this mood right now where he's letting me hang myself is what he's got this mood going. Rather than saying, hey, Dominic, I want to do this one. He just says, all right, go ahead, Grasshopper. Let me get a little remember. But what I have learned is watching one pocket, you learn a lot about people's games and you remember that they're really good up table game players. They're really good bankers. They'll, whatever it may be, the ticky game, the real good, whatever, when you're betting and you lose, you know, 2-1, 3, you know, whatever you're losing on the match, you remember how good that player plays real quick. You don't forget it. Kind of like when you're playing a match and you dog a 9-ball for a dime. You don't forget that 9-ball. You ain't going to make that same mistake.
Yeah. So
Tony's up table game is phenomenal.
Yeah, it is. So let's, I don't think there's too much else to say about the match. I mean, it was 9-2 after day one. It was 18-8 after day two, and it finished 27-16, right? 27-16, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Do you guys think that he plays Chip even at his bar now? I feel like that's the move.
Well,
but Chip's got a ton of people lined up, but I think that would be a good move.
You know, well, I think it'd be bad. I think it'd be bad action for. I think it'd be bad for Chip's action. Because
if he beats Tony even.
I think it's bad for his action if he plays him right now. Look at the people out there let me branch that question kind of into what I want to talk about next, which is. This was kind of dubbed as the best one pocket American player tournament, kind of, right? Two entries. These are the two best we have to offer. Do you think that that's true? Do you think we need to see a third iteration of this? Maybe at a neutral location, or maybe at Chip's room, or what? First off, so let me ask you the question: is Tony the undisputed best American one pocket player? And if the answer to that is no, what does he need to do to prove it?
Isn't the answer yes?
The answer is right. Yes. Yeah, he is.
Well, he wanted his home room, right? So theoretically, you could say, well, you got to get there on a neutral location. That's what I'm saying. That's my thing. Is I got to see him get there on a neutral location. I got to see this at maybe, and I do think that Tony is the best, but I still want to see it at Bogey's, or I want to see it at, you know, Racks on the Rocks. I want to see it somewhere where it's neutral. Neither player knows the table inside and out, and you show.
Don't go to Houston. They'll go play in Houston, I'm sure, if they were offered it.
Yeah,
you know.
I mean, I would like to see it.
Who's the other contenders out there? I mean, you got to think about that.
Well, Florida. You're in Florida, Don.
We got Jay Hall.
You think Jay Hall? I saw it with these eyes. I seen it. You know.
I don't think Jay Hall. Are you there? Yeah, I don't think Jay Hall gets there, but I think he could hang with Chip for sure. Who else? You got Billy
against Tony. We were there. I mean. Like,
oh, Tony,
against,
no. I
mean,
we already have the results of what happened with all these players. You know, yeah. Billy.
Well, if you want the list of about seven players, it's Corey, it's Shane, it's Billy, it's Chip, it's Tony, and it's Scott. I would say that those are the six. If you want to throw Justin Hall in there, that's fine. It's those
Scott
seven.
Took a lot of disrespect to it being called the top, you know, American one pocket player, you know, and
well,
Scott,
I mean, Tony,
to
Tony
his credit.
Tony did just beat Tony did just beat him. So, but if you're gonna make a list of seven, I think that's it.
Listen,
so
no, hold on, wait a minute, because that and I ain't always been the biggest Scott Frost fan, but that shit was months ago. Whenever Scott hadn't been playing
picked up a cue for about 6 weeks and went into that match.
Yeah, well, I mean, but he's playing better now. That's what I mean. Like, and you let him go and have a halfway schedule where he's traveling and competing and staying in the grease and all that, you know, I think Scott can go and make it a game because he gave Tony problems out there. What was it in Florida?
24-20, I think was the final.
That's close. I mean, like that's any given day to me. Like if you, like if these guys saying that Jay Hall's that much better than Corey. Yeah. I mean, he was better during that set and I'm not saying Jay Hall's not the better player. That's not what I'm saying. But if you're in a 3 or 4 game difference, I mean, that can go and swing. You know, either way, depending on roles or whatever else, you know, if they go and play it again, it may be swapped around when you're talking about, you know, that big of a difference. Now, when you talk about what Tony did to Chip, you know, last week, that's a whole nother ball game because that was a statement, man.
That's not only a statement saying I'm better than you. That's a statement that's saying you're not even in the same class as me.
Yeah, I think that title of the event made that happen for sure. But I think we already have the evidence of what Tony can do to those six already. So I think that kind of speaks for itself. I mean, he's spotted Josh Roberts. He beat Jay Hall even. He spotted Billy Thorpe. I mean, it really comes down to who's second. Second's a lot closer with those group of five, let's say, or four, or the next three, let's say, than it is Tony playing them. I think Scott yeah. plays Chip, right? I think that's in the works. Corey plays Chips in the works. I mean, Jay Hall's going to play
Chips. Chip's got a pick of the litter of who he wants to go and play. Right. And Jay Hall's, from what I heard, he wants to go and play. Yeah, he wants to go and play Corey first is my – oh, no, no, I'm sorry. He wants to go and play Scott first is my understanding. So
right. It's obviously no secret that me being from Florida, I'm a big Jay Hall fan. I like him. Obviously, I want the hometown hero to win anything. But, I mean, I think Jason will put him in the box for sure. And what a lot of people don't know is a little Chip on camera. You could see Chip, like, in engage with people during the match. You know, we see that. We know that. Jay Hall engages with the crowd quite often during a match. And I always text him about how you feeling. He's like, I still don't know yet. It could be an hour before the match. I say, hey, what Jay Hall is here today? He's like, I still don't know. I'll let you know when I hit the first ball. You know, but
and he's got Jay Hall's very an exciting style of play himself.
Yeah, he does.
You know, like whenever he bangs the ball so good that
him
he
playing Billy pressure in the on you from a lot of.
Him I was Bill- sitting like four I'm rows going. Back on the left hand side during that. That was the most one of I mean, besides like Shane and Dennis, right? Day three, like that was one of the most exciting, especially that's endings to a match I've starts. Ever seen.
Everything else yeah. comes Ugh. From there, yeah.
That's another one of those Dami bet emotionally.
Yeah, that's another one we're watching.
It's gambling, man. A race to three is gambling. Like
you know, Hill, and he crosses the ball between a gap this big. Oh my god, he had this.
He didn't plan on doing it like that though. He didn't. Oh, it was beautiful. He was just trying to get out of the break. He wasn't trying to go and make that ball. I don't think. He just gorgeous. Wanted to go and keep that pressure on you. Yeah. But no, I think that Chip's got a lot of gamble, and Chip's open to go and playing. And this is the best thing about it. Yeah, I mean, his backers ain't scared to go and put Chip in, you know, because Chip's won him a lot of money. Why wouldn't they? You know, and they're not nitty about their money either. That's why they're willing to go and play, you know, even at Tony's place right after that. And it wasn't like we're talking 6 months down the road or
right,
I got to
right,
go do
right.
this or that or whatever. They turned around counted, and did it like within a month, you know.
They didn't count the money yet.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that the other thing that I really enjoy about it is that it gets people going. People get pissed off whenever you go and say that he's the best American one pocket player. Oh, yeah. Corey kind of stays quiet, but the rest mm-hmm. of them, Justin, Scott, all these guys, they got pride, man. They got egos. You think they want to hear somebody else go and be called that? I mean, they're all from the States, and they don't think they're over the hill, and I don't think they're over the hill, you know? So, but I think at the end of the day, styles go and make fights, and this is what's so
in
tough
one pocket,
about Tony.
Certainly.
Right. Yeah. For sure, in one pocket. But this is the problem with Tony, is that now he's squeezing. I mean, he's going to be tough for whoever.
Filipinos.
You know, because
he'll give anybody heat right now.
All he's got is Filipinos left.
Yeah. And here's the funny thing, right. because I you're right.
Unless you want to go back to spot in 9-8 or 9-7 or 9-5.
He will.
I mean, he will. He don't care. He just wants to go and get in the game at the end
he
of the day.
Just wants
here's
to
what's
be
funny
the
is that the last, I think, at least the last two times that Chip and him have met up in a tournament, I think Chip's won something like 7-1. Playing even in a tournament. But these are like races to four and races to three. So that's why I'm saying, Dom, like when you talk about that shit with Jay Hall, listen, man, it's short races. Anything can go and happen. I think the cream rises to the top when you talk about a longer race. I mean, but like I said, you still have that little bit of variance there. But I mean,
I had the break.
Yeah.
I had the break.
Yeah. You were sitting
I was
good.
Real life. I got a nickel bet on the break. She runs eight now. What a monster.
3 minutes later. Yeah.
But I think Scott has a really good style. I think we're going to see Scott a little bit more moving forward. I know he took a little back burner a little bit, tried his business and all that good stuff.
I think, to
Mike's point, I really think he got fired up in a major way. He was all over the social media. Everybody knows he's not shy to share his views. And I think isn't it in the works, him and Chip, Corey and Chip?
So the other day Chip was asking Scott directly, are we gonna play? Because if not, I'll go and play Corey. Corey's got a backer ready to go and bet up to, I think they said 50. And they'll accommodate more. So and I I like Corey Dewell playing one pocket. I do. And that's going to be a real tough match if they do go in and play. I agree. There's a lot of questions when it comes to Scott. But the if Scott play – and we just saw Scott go into the finals of a one-pocket event that included, you know, Dennis and Warren and all
those Filipinos. That was a weird field, man. That was – how weird was that? How weird
does that come up? But he got there, and that's why, like –
Right. Well, yeah.
Motivation, right? Motivation, and you go and poke at their ego, they're going to go and say, hey, man, I can still go and get there, and let me show you.
But
you
know? if I can jump in really quick, like, I don't want to disrespect Scott or anything like that. But you know, that level of internal motivation only lasts so long. You know, you got to constantly be poked. If that level of motivation is what drives you, so this is like the Michael Jordan thing, right? Like Michael Jordan used to make things up in the news to motivate himself to like get up for like playoff games. He would literally make up in an interview with somebody that Larry Bird said, you know, talk crap about him in some sort of way. And he knew in his head that he was making it up, but he needed that internal motivation to keep him going. So if you're going to be one of those people that are motivated by your critics, you have to constantly have that flow of stuff to come in. Cause if not, I mean, where's your motivation coming from at this point in his career? I don't think he's internally motivated. I'm not trying to dog on him, but I don't think he's internally motivated at this point. So he's going to constantly have to be poked.
Even if you're right, Nate, he can get internally motivated very easy with any social media post 7 days a week. He's Scott.
But is that going to get you away from your keyboard and practicing?
He's hitting them more often now. He says that. And he believes he's in the best he's ever been right now. And maybe for him to say that, we don't know what that means, but I'm sure hopefully he puts that into play. But he also requested the match be done at his place, which home court advantage, people may not think it's a ball or anything. Let me tell you, home court advantage is a big deal.
He beat him in Arizona, didn't he? If I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure he went over to Freezes to go and beat him. Or maybe I'm thinking about Danny. I'm thinking about Danny.
Yeah, I think Danny.
Those are two people we don't talk about, you don't hear often, is Danny and John Mora. Both of them play real good one pocket.
Well, John Mora's not American. John's
not American. Yeah,
let's. He's not American, and every single person in this call knows that we're not talking about Danny, so we don't even need to bring him up really either, right?
Oh, but I mean, like you can have guys like a Danny Smith, where if he go, I mean, the getting motivated by the critics or whatever, by the keyboard warriors, the shitheads, the talking heads, like me and you or whatever. Listen, that's fine to get them up, but once they're up, if they get going, you never know what can go and happen. And I know that on that point. So we were starting up doing our top like 15 one pocket list again, right? To refresh it. And I asked people like, who do you think the top, you know, one pocket players are? And everybody left Justin out. And Justin's buddy who runs the Players Club out there in St. Louis said, there's a lot of guys on that list that can go and get played. And I guess they kind of took offense to it when it comes to why isn't Justin considered a better one pocket player. But like I told Brandon, if he ain't playing,
he's not a popular player.
If he's not traveling anywhere to go and play in a tournament, he's not matching up with anybody. Well,
at the end of the day, Billy Thorpe, whether he's better or whether he's not better, it doesn't really matter because he's got the name recognition. You got to actually be like a pretty solid follower of the game to know Justin Hall and know his game well.
I was talking about Bergman. Yeah, no. Bergman.
Okay, that's different. Yeah, that's different. Never mind.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how true it was, but just saying that Justin kind of took offense to that list and his name being left off of it by a lot of people, right? A lot of fans. Nobody will go and consider Justin a great one pocket player. Well,
Who was the last person he played in a big one pocket matchup? I can't name it.
Efren. He played Efren in an exhibition.
Yeah,
you know, but Justin's cue ball is gross enough to go and get there. Like, if Justin were to go to New Orleans, Justin can go and give people problems.
Yeah,
I guarantee
he squeezes hard.
Yeah,
Justin squeezes good,
but he doesn't play these matchups, so you got to be in people's minds about it.
Bergman's
in action every day, more than most probably. But I mean, he's one of those guys that don't want to be on camera.
If you're giving him 13 to 4
to get a match, that it's not
right.
Man,
right.
I had this same argument when it came to talking about Scott before he ever went and played Tony. And they were saying, somebody mentioned that Scott's been warming up out there in Arizona against the locals.
Yeah.
That ain't gonna go. That's not gonna. That ain't gonna go and get you there. You gotta stay in top level competition to be able to play with these, you know, top 1% or 1%ers of the world, right? Yeah. You gotta be constantly, you know, kept your back up against the wall and having to go and push yourself to be extra, extra, extra sharp. Now it's not to go and say you can't go and beat up guys who are traveling through, you know, or beat up your average players, you know. But
or at least in
have we ever seen Justin play? Have you ever seen Justin play anything not good? I mean, his Justin, like you said, his cue ball
Justin's
is amazing.
Got a lot of gamble. His cue ball is gross. You know, Justin, and that's why I guess I kind of get frustrated when I hear shit like that, because it's like, man, his cue ball is so great and his pocketing is so great. Like, travel, go and play somewhere, go and get in a match, go get outside your comfort zone and go and match up with somebody. You know, don't just stay in Illinois or St. Louis or these places, because as a fan, and that's what I am, I'm a fan first. I want to see the best players in you know, whether it's in the States or players from abroad that come over. I want to see them go and match up. You know,
he's not a traveler, man.
Yeah, nope. What can you do?
Yeah, he's not a traveler. So
fair enough.
So I guess let's create the top five list, each of us, of the U.S. One pocket players. Dom, why don't you, if you want to start, go first.
That's tough. You said there's seven of them that are good.
Well, I'll give you a little bit of time to think on it. Then I'll start my list. Mine starts with Tony. I think this past weekend proved it. He still has to. I still think he has to get there either at Chip's house or on a neutral table, and that would solidify it. But I still default him to there. He's number one. I got Chip number two. Number three, it starts getting really fuzzy really fast. But I'm gonna respect the career that Scott has had, and I'm gonna give him number three, just because of that longevity and because he said he's back and he's playing his top tier. I'm going to trust that he's telling the truth. And at one point in time, I mean, the dude was, I mean, he was the pinnacle of US one pocket pool. Number four, I'm going to go to Billy, and number five, I'm going to go to Jay Hall.
Wow. Leaving Corey off. Huh?
You only have Corey on there.
That's, nope. That's pretty strong on the American list. I don't know if I can go on. I'm not going to argue with you on number one. I think before COVID, I would have Corey number two. The Corey that played Justin Hall, though, I don't know if I could have him at number two. I'd probably have Chip.
It starts to get where you got to go second, third, fourth.
Well, I mean,
I probably should have Corey on there instead of Jay Hall, especially since they just beat each other. But I just think Justin spends all of his time playing one pocket, and Corey still plays the rest of the games too. So I'm gonna default to the guy that
when Justin plays pool, though. I mean, yeah. You know, how often is Jay Hall going and playing? Yeah, I think tonight is gonna be a little telling as far as where maybe Justin lies with, you know, with the rest of the guys, you know, matching up with Evan Lunda. But today I'd put Chip number two. I'd put Corey right behind him. And I think it's really close. And I really want to see that matchup go and happen. I'd love to see Corey and Justin go and play again. Where am I at? That'd be three. Number four. I put Justin Hall. I don't know, man. Number
Scott,
five.
Then Billy, maybe.
Yeah, you're leaving off Scott.
I don't
Billy,
know
Shane.
If I can. Yeah, I mean, see, but Shane's tough to go and peg. Shane may be the number one pocket player in the States, right? But you don't know because he ain't gonna go play Tony.
No,
you know
he's gotten there a few times, right? Haven't he played people off camera?
I know he don't like one pocket. I know he don't really got much of an interest in playing one pocket, and I know he's been offered matches of playing one pocket and has turned it down.
The prize purses. I mean, whatever, right? I mean, it's not what he's looking
Shane,
for.
No, because that doesn't get Shane up like it does get up Tony. You know, it just don't. I think Tony can go and spot him.
Well, that's my point. Is it doesn't get Shane up for it, right? That's what I mean.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Chasing that $20,000 at a time. It doesn't get
his rocks off.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Shane, I mean, doesn't need that $20,000 purse at the end of a one pocket a match, right?
Oh, and he's got a ton of rotation events.
Well,
he's in
before COVID happened, maybe, right? But now that COVID happened and it's been slim pickings as far as events and all, you know, these type of things, you know, he's a lot more open to it, yeah. You know, open to expanding his horizons, and he's going to be playing more action matches. And I know he's got one that's really trying to get worked out here as soon as a couple of Europeans come over to the States.
My understanding was quit getting excited, people.
It won't be Josh.
I was under the impression Shane enjoyed the COVID situation of being not traveling and finally enjoying his new house and all that good stuff.
To an extent, man, but at the end of the day, he wasn't planning on retiring in 2020.
Right. You know? Touché. Like, I mean, his he just had the house built and he hadn't lived a day in it. You know what I mean? Like,
but I know he was also I know he was also like appreciating having a little bit of time off for the first time in about 30 years too. So it's
Mike, you were there, you were over there, right? But did he have furniture?
So downstairs, all he had was two Q-Tech chairs and the restaurant table. Yeah, two Q-Tech chairs. I can't. And listen, he's got the stairs right that come down, and then in the stairs had like a little closet. You open the closet, it's probably got, I'd say maybe $200,000 worth of like just memorabilia, trophies that he's won, cues that he's had, and the cues are just thrown there in the floor like it's some, you know, backyard storage shed.
He's got. We should crop that dollar amount out.
Maybe. Yeah, no, I mean it's no, but like he just
Shane's house tonight.
Yeah. Oh no, I'm sure Shane's ready. Don't worry about it. Y'all go ahead and go over. Yeah, Shane's ready. Yeah, and you know, and if you saw today playing on 4-inch pockets, he can aim a little bit. Yeah. You know. But no, I mean And yeah, stay off, get off the ledge there, buddy. But no, I mean, it's tough to go. You can't say where Shane belongs in that one pocket American list. You can't say where belongs in that one pocket American list. They may be the best, but at
same
the end of the day,
even when he beat Tony, you can't put him anywhere. You have no idea.
Yeah. I mean, believe me, there's a lot of guys. Justin would love to play Josh.
I can tell you this much. You can text Justin Hall right now. He'll tell you. I don't even want to be in the top five. Let's leave my name out of the public eye.
That may be fine at certain times, Dom, but there's ego there, man, at the end of the day.
Yeah, there's a respect.
You don't think that if you don't think he takes offense to people thinking that he's not there. Now, for action, he may want to go and say, yeah, keep my name out of it. That may be fine and all. But, like, man, he's a former Moscone Cup player. You know, he's got an ego.
And did good.
Yeah, I played phenomenal, right?
He's even better as far 5 hours after the action was done.
He's got real good statistics behind him when it comes to Moscow. Real good statistics.
But it's like if that's what gets him up, that's fine. I'm all for it. You know, whatever it takes, I want to see it. You know, I want to see
that's
those
guys. That's
because
you're a fan. We're fans first. We always want to see the best.
I was supposed to drive over there to Morgan City today, but. Whatever.
So, Dom, what's your list? Let's hear it.
I can't argue with any of that. I mean, I know we're going to talk about the Evan match. I don't want to stay too much on being redundant with the list. But, yeah, I mean, Tony, Chip, and Corey, you got to put them all up there. Jay Hall, Scott, and then, you know, Billy somewhere in the 4 or 5, something like that, you know. But, again, off camera, I mean, he gets played often. He's gotten weight. I mean, I don't know if it's public information, but he didn't get there with a few of the guys. So I think I hope to see Billy a lot more personally on camera playing action one pocket moving forward. I think this Tony and Chip match personally is going to spark a lot more one pocket matches to happen back to back. Hopefully. I'm hoping to see that.
All action's good action when it comes to this game.
Hey, the more one pocket we can see on a poster, the more we can bet it.
Yeah. The more you can lose. All right, so why don't we move on then to – oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. I'm sorry. It's all love.
Oh, you should see my where I'm standing right now.
So let's move on to that match. We've already hinted at it a couple times. We got Evan Lunda and Justin Hall starting tonight, which gives me some extra work to do so I can make sure this podcast gets out by then. So, Evan, Justin, I mean, Evan, I know, just came off that big win in Illinois for the one pocket, but – mm-hmm. I don't see it personally. I mean, I don't need to take up too much airwaves here. I think Justin gets there and gets there comfortably. What do you think, Mike?
Boy, I don't.
I think a lot more. I think. Oh, go ahead, Mike.
No. You got it. You got it.
I just think people underestimate people, and I also don't think always said this. I don't think people get in the box thinking that they're not going to win or that they can't get there.
Oh, I know plenty of people that will get in there for that appearance fee.
I think
that even against their backers, this no, they can't win.
I think this poster comes to, I call it the Dommy betting, is we're all emotionally betting because we see Justin Moore. We hear about Justin Moore. All that good. Evan can get there. Let's not get it twisted. I bet on Justin a lot. So, but I think
so Evan's going to win.
So Evan's a lock, right?
Yeah, so Evan's going to win. So let me flip my bets.
I just think Evan can put a little heat on him. I just don't think he can get there. And, you know, I just don't think it's a blowout.
So
people think it's a blowout.
Mike, go ahead.
I don't think that.
I mean, it's tough to go and peg. They both have character concerns, to say the least. And, you know, like what Dom just said, it's Evan got back for it. So why wouldn't he go and take a swing at a free $5,000 or $2,500 or $2,000, whatever it is he's getting after if he wins, right? So, mm-hmm. You know, why not? What has he got to go and lose, right? And if he's getting just a piece of the – they were openly going fishing for a backer, so it wasn't like it's like his go-to guy, like how Jay Hall's got guys in Florida and he's got Romero in Louisiana. He's got guys that he can call on a regular basis, right? So mm-hmm. that's a little different, because I know, and I've heard from, like, I'm good friends with Romero, and he'll say, no, Justin will level with me if it's a bad game. He ain't one of those guys just to say, hey, we're going at this, and Romero's all in, like. And that's why they kind of have a bond like they do, is because he trusts Justin's judgment to go and get a good game, right? Evan just won a one pocket event, I think, out in Illinois, but mm-hmm. I don't know, yep. man. I've never been a big Evan Lunda fan in one pocket. I don't like his mechanics. I think his kind of like his mechanics kind of mirror like his attitude and his approach to the game, where it can be kind of blasé and whatever. And I mean, sometimes he can go hit the ball great, and then sometimes like, what the hell was that? You know, and Justin, when Justin's head is on right, his one pocket game is a pretty special thing to go and watch. It's very creative. It's smart and it's calculated. He doesn't take a whole lot of risk unless he just, sometimes you got to go, right? Sometimes you just got to go. And that's part of why Justin is a fan. That shit about Justin playing more. I've seen more Evan Lunda than I've seen more Justin the last 2 years. You know, I mean, except for when Justin played Corey, you know, but I like Justin in the game. But I also know a lot of people that are, and I'm not saying just a lot of people. I'm going to say people who I respect their opinion when it comes to one pocket. And I mean, highly respect their opinion when it comes to one pocket. They like Evan. They're not stupid. They're getting weight on the money. I haven't seen any games, but they're getting weight on the money. And they're taking Evan. So don't think, like, don't sleep on Evan. And honestly, I mean, if Justin were to go and lose, it wouldn't be the worst thing, because I'm sure Justin can go and get into the game and be the sucker in everyone's eyes, and they can go and bet it up and get played in Morgan City, or go and get played in Louisiana, or go and get played
in Florida. The bet's only $5,000. I mean, he can make way more than that just losing off this, maybe.
I think it's seven now.
Is it seven? Yeah, seven aside in the middle now? I'm just looking at the – So, Mike, run it back. Race 18, what's your score?
I'm going to say Evan Lunda gets there 18 to 14.
You got Evan winning 18-14, huh? Dom's over here like kicking himself in the nuts because you just said he's going to lose.
Oh, every time we bet the opposite side, I lose. Every time. Every time
I'm that's going 18, because we bet the same side and lost money, so it don't make no difference.
Buddy, you're a jinx.
Me,
you jinx it. I mean, back to the question, was the I think it's 18-15 personally. Jay Hall wins it.
It's gonna be close either way.
Yep, I think it'll be close.
Yeah, I think it's 18-14.
I'm looking forward to it. I don't care if the bet's small, how large, whatever it is. I just think one pocket is my favorite game to watch. I think it's the best game to watch.
It makes a difference, though. It makes a difference. Like,
well, I get it. You're right. You're 100% right. I just enjoy good the
one,
game.
Good one pocket is my favorite to watch. Bad one pocket is my least favorite to watch.
Yeah. No. They move. Touché. And they got their own style. They got their own styles to them. You're going to go and see Great Banks, and I think they're playing on a standard diamond, or so four and a half. Or
watching
J-Hall, I'm biased because I just think J-Hall's got this vision when you see shots similar to Tony that you just don't know where they came from, and he creates stuff, and he's so creative. I'm just a big fan.
Watching Chip and Roberto, that was the worst pool I've ever watched in my life. That was torture. Complete torture. First iteration of it.
Roberto was a whole other.
I thought it was a great match, but then again, you know, I bet on Chip, so I thought the match was amazing.
Yeah, I bet Roberto, which maybe adds a little torture to it. But man, that was just like when you're playing.
He was as white. Roberto was as white as you were by the time it was like day three. He was as white as you are, Nate. He was just he had seen a ghost. Roberto did, because he couldn't. I never seen spot shots miss so bad. Oh man. That's why, like, Roberto stays in the grease. So that's why it's hard to go and peg him sometimes. But
yeah,
sometimes it gets
that was
bad.
A bad one. So, well, I can't let you guys get out of here without talking a little bit of the Whirlpool Masters. Have you ever seen a tournament in your life that's been more chalk than this up until this point? Can you name one single upset, maybe a bit short of Dennis Grave today over Albin? I think that's a little bit of chalk, but I don't think that's big chalk. I mean, I think those players are close with race of seven close. Certainly. I think that could go either way.
Give me a second. Let me read the list of the ones I lost, and I'll tell you all the upsets. Give me one second here.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Maybe Neil's over Jason, but I mean, even that, I mean,
Neil's plays so good.
Neil's is so strong. I mean, where's the upsets?
Jason was supposed to go and win that match. He had a chance to go and do it. He saw that shit. You know, he missed ball. I think 4-inch is great. First of all, 4-inch is phenomenal because you never know who's gonna who's gonna go and shit the bed, right? Because I mean, any shot can be dogs.
You're
right?
Sweating. I mean, every shot.
I'm thinking I'm going one up with Kazakis and he dogs the 8-ball, or David when he missed that 7-ball, or Billy when he missed that shot.
Yeah, that 9-ball Justin missed against Alex go up 4-1. I mean, that one was oof.
Yeah, that or what was it? The last match, Niels and. And Koch, I think Neil's made one mistake, and before you know it, it's 6-0, and he had the jump and kick, and that was all he had since that very first game. Whenever he missed the ball, I think it was a 4-ball.
Clunty broke the ball so good.
It has been chalk. I like in rotation whenever it was. The World Cup pool was a little bit more upsets, but this table is breaking very consistently and generously.
It is.
Even though.
Until you get Hill, apparently.
Yeah, for sure. But that's the beauty of sport, right? I mean, that whenever stuff like that goes and happens. So,
wing ball's working real well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Kachi looked dominating today. You don't want to go and give him a break at all. You don't want to do any kind of mistake. Mm-hmm. Sky got the breakdown, and as you know, to Dom's horror, against David. And he looked pretty phenomenal too, right? So I'm curious to see how he goes and matches up against, I think it's Alex.
So the first match tomorrow morning looks like it's going to be Joshua Filler versus Dennis Grabe. The match right after that is Shane Van Boning, Max Leshner.
Like Filler, right?
But can you at least
tell you what? Don't sleep on Dennis.
No, can we give respect to the fact that he played like me day one and then played like Filler today.
He did. He played bad day one. Yesterday. Against Roberto, I mean, Dennis played bad.
It was so bad.
But luckily, Roberto can't. He's allergic to prosperity when it comes to anything. Anything with the, no, man. Anything with the matchroom camera in front of him, and he's allergic to prosperity.
It ain't limited to just the matchroom. Yeah. No. Don't put him in that box.
Especially bad when there.
He can blossom. He can blossom outside of there just
anywhere.
Amazingly.
Anywhere.
Yeah, no. And I like Dennis's game a lot, but Dom's right. Dennis looked terrible against Roberto. I mean, where the man was sitting at his chair before the cue ball struck the object ball. Like, he was getting up every single shot, hitting him, firing him into the rail, and somehow
he's never seen a center pocket that, like, he never hit a ball center pocket.
But tell me this: when it seems like every time whoever the champion is, you can always go back to one match that they had that they luckily got through. They somehow got through it. I mean, Dennison, how bad did Carl and Darren look in that first match? They look like they couldn't make a ball on 9-inch pockets. The next thing you know, they're running seven in the semifinals.
Bane didn't look good his first match either. I get it. But the difference of night and day, he played amazing. I mean, I've watched him on the Euro. He plays real good.
Dennis
and
played
he
real
played
strong.
Real good today.
I think it's a huge advantage for these guys who were unseated to go and get an extra match on the TV table. Like,
yep.
I mean, if you're gonna go and have these other guys sitting cold and seated, mm-hmm. extend the race at least. Give them a little bit more of a shot to go and try to get there, but a race to seven when they're still trying to go and adjust and figure stuff out. When
the only thing
everybody else is already, you know, they know by now they've already gotten there.
The only thing I'll say about that though is the table conditions that first round of matches is played on is completely different by the time they play on it the second time.
You can tell
that table,
on it today.
That table's starting to get worn in, and it'll play completely different after about 200 racks on that thing. That's the only thing I'll say. You got to get adjusted to the table twice because it will play differently the second time.
You can tell
the idea of being in that arena. The idea of being in that arena, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, especially after a year off, you know. But no, I agree with you, Nate. It's been a lot of chalk, especially that first round. It was literally nothing but chalk. I thought Jeff would have been the favorite, and I still think he was the favorite here in the States, but. Really, when it came to the bookies, they had Neils as a favorite going into that match, and that would have been
who I would have considered.
Well, but Neils looked awful the last few matchroom events that he's played in, you know.
So
I mean that, and for that reason alone is why I would go and say, and Neils is a champion. He's won that event multiple times. I'm not trying to disrespect the man, but I mean, you know, I'll call a spade in that regard, and he looked sharp. And with Kachi, he didn't do nothing wrong. I mean. You know, he jawed up a four ball, and then it's six one by the time he's back at the table going to seven. I mean, that's a lot of pressure, and that's tough to go and fade. But Jen's favorite Kachi is going to be tough to go and beat.
Yeah. So we're down to Josh Filler versus Dennis Grabe. We got Shane Van Boning versus Max Leshner, and we got Sky Woodward and Alex Kazakis. This is all finishing up tomorrow. What do you guys think? Where are your picks at? My pre-tournament pick was Kachi. I thought he had I'm not trying to disrespect Petri or Naoki Oyer, or even Jason Shaw, or Alex Kazakis or David Al-Kaidi. Eklanti Kachi was not going to play a player potentially better than him until the finals. He wasn't. I mean, you can have Jason at this point in his career when he's his mind is in a pool hall. Eklanti Kachi had the easiest draw of any player in this field. By far, and it's showing. I think he's playing like a monster to begin with, but I mean, his draw, it's super, super easy compared to everybody else.
Well, that top half was a lot more, cupcake than anything else.
But the top
compared,
the top quarter of it was Sky and David and Alex Kazakis. I mean, that's a little bit tough. The one below it, I mean, I mean.
Kachi but you know what? It's
real good
it's
on
easy.
Tight pockets.
No, listen,
Kachi
it's easy.
Plays real
ever.
Good.
Oh yeah, real yeah, yeah. Okay, it's easy
coming
to go and say
that
now,
something.
Right? Yeah, right. Yeah, play that clip right here on this part of it. Go back and
yeah,
edit.
I'll have to. Yeah,
I'll always said
no,
Kachi plays good on tight.
Listen, when you have a cakewalk though, you got to go and live up to it, and that's what I like about Clenny's game right now. It's not just wins; he's sending statements. He's hitting you with threes, fours, and fives in this event, going to seven. You know, even I think his first one, whenever it was, who did he play that first round? I think
Petri.
It kind of,
Petri
well, maybe it was the second round. The second round with Oi, whenever Oi came back, and
that
the four ball that was just brutal. He's faced adversity and sent statements. So that's what I think is what builds champions, right? You gotta go through the ebbs and flows of a tournament because now he's done it from behind a little bit, or felt somebody clipping at his heel, so to speak, when it came to Oi. And that match with Neils was just—he put everybody on notice, just like Shane put everybody on notice too at the bottom. That hey, he's here too.
Yeah.
I think that Lechner, the last time they played was an upset at the international. So don't think Lechner's going to be intimidated. And that last half of his match, you know, to Dom's dismay, he looked he looked really sharp. So,
My pick for this coming into the tournament, before we started it or before the tournament started, was Shane versus Eklanti, and Eklanti getting there in the final. So what do you guys think? Where did not you start? Where are you at now?
Not far off. I've got Sky over Kazakis. I think that's the closest match tomorrow. And then you got Grabe versus
Josh
Filler. It's kind of hard to even talk about that. I mean, it's Filler. And then, Shane. I think next round, this round's weak. I think second session is going to be all just great. It's going to be a great pool. I personally, just so you know, I think this 4-inch pocket thing is the best thing we could have seen. I get it shimmed, and I'm not a fan of playing on shim tables because I'm terrible. But these players, to have them play on shim 4-inch, it was awesome. I would like to see maybe 4 3/4 side pockets. Something just a little bit small in the side pocket, because you can see them smart, like Shane.
Have you ever played on a Rassen table? Rassen table side pockets they're brutal. They're already
brutal. They're 5 inches. The ones at the arena are 5 inches. And the practice table is different than the TV table, which is interesting to say the least that would be happening. But I think that'll be fixed next year.
Those are cut hard. Those aren't cut forgiving. Those side pockets on Rassen tables are brutal. They're tough.
See the 6-ball shot Shane made? Rocketed it. So sick.
So who's your pick to win it then, Dom?
Oh, I'm going Filler.
Yeah, Filler. What about you, Mike? What do you think?
No, I can't. I can't go Filler. I think it's either going to be all American or all European. That's what I'll say. So either it'll be Filler and Kachi in the finals, or it'll be Shane and Sky in the finals. Yeah, Sky's got a really underrated nine ball break. Yeah, and it showed up on his last match with David.
Mm-hmm. But he's going to be two upsets. So I think him against Alex. I mean, I think Alex is a favorite, and I think Clancy is a big favorite.
Not here in the States. No,
Alex. Yeah, no, mate. I think Alex is the favorite too, man. I think. Listen, let's just make something friendly.
I'll sweat a little for fun. I like Alex.
My man. Yeah, you're right. Sky Woodward is a dog against Kazakis. Yeah. Anybody who wants to bet on Alex Kazakis being the favorite, I'll gladly take it even. Send me a PM.
I'm friends with Sky. They take care of us real well. He's a great dude. Talk all that stuff. I thought Dave was going to get there. David had him 3-1 shooting a 7-ball, a duck 7-ball, and the 9 left after that. Dogs the 7-ball, and Sky comes back with a vengeance like no other. Yeah.
David didn't stand a chance.
Absolutely incredible. I think Sky and Kachi match will be great to watch. Tons of action will be on it for sure. That's going to be the highlight of tomorrow, of the second session for sure.
Oh, you want to watch it get killed? Is watch the Americans lose tomorrow. The action's done, because it'll get really juicy if they go and stay in the event. You know, because Shane and Filler will be fireworks. I mean, everybody and their mother's going to be betting it. You know, there'll be more bet on that match than the winner's going to go and get. I guarantee
you. For sure. I like the people that's going to keep the action going along. Like, you don't want to bet on Lechner, because if Shane's out the tournament, you can't get action moving forward. Like, it's going to be too hard against Filler to get. It's tough. I'm enjoying the event. You know, I know there's a lot of controversy behind who was invited, blah, blah, all that good stuff. But at the end of the day, take all that away, the COVID trend, you know, all that good stuff, just the equipment itself. I personally liked it. I like the 4-inch pocket. I just like sweating a straight in shot. I think that's something to it, that the dude has 4 ducks on a table. Mike can message me and say, we're looking good here. Cash, you know, send the payment reminders. And I'm over here just like this at the edge of my seat. Like, man, I don't know about that. Well, it's reversed. I'm the one who tells him, oh, we're golden. And Mike's like, no, Grasshopper.
Look at my phone.
Nope. Do not show any messages.
It blows up all day long from Dom. But vice versa.
I would say that this table is perfect for this tournament. I don't want to see these. I don't want to see these pockets of the Moscone Cup. I don't.
Too tight. Oh, you for are. Sure. You got to put some kind of heat on European. I mean, are we going to keep watching 11-4?
Europe goes so much deeper than the U.S., man. It's not the Shanes and the Skies that are going to have a problem with these pockets.
Yep. Nate hit the nail on the head. It'll be fine for them.
It'll be fine for them. It's four
Europe's
and five.
Europe's got five Shane and Skies over there. They got one, two, three, four, five of them. Every single one of them can go and
Europe has, Yes, it's mm-hmm. not it's four and five in the U.S. that are going
to
be.
Well, you got to do something to tighten it up. I don't know. I'd love to see. I was just talking to Jen about it early, man. I would love to see Asia versus Europe and the Philippines involved. Those three, that would be such good.
Filipinos like to go and gamble,
and it would be great TV. Great TV.
Well, if there's a five person team, who in the world can beat Taiwan?
Well, Philippines beat them whenever they played. They had a Moscone Cup style event like 2 years ago, I think it was.
Yeah, they
and
they, did.
And it was stacked. It wasn't just the B players. Oh, and matter of fact, no, wait a minute. Hold on a second. It was Taiwan's best, and I think the Filipinos had Efren and Bustamante on there.
Why do we have –
I believe so, yeah. So imagine when they really have the best Filipino players out there going and playing – among the best Taiwanese. It'll be competitive for sure.
I still think Asia takes it all. I think Asia takes it, but I would like to see Philippines versus Europe for sure. That looks good. I mean,
yeah.
It's going to happen.
I don't know how long this can last. I mean, it's just, I don't know.
I think that's an old other podcast. I think between the three of us, we're going to be asked to be coaches in the next 3 to 4 years. So you guys better get ready.
I'm ready. I've been practicing hard. I've been training real hard.
Tell me I'm wrong, Mike. Yeah. Tell me I'm wrong.
I don't want to say that, but
look, I love JJ. I think he's a great coach, but that's not going to work. 11-3 is not going to work.
No, but he's getting the pass this year, though.
No, because I agree. Right.
We'll
have to see what it looks like this year.
It's a results business at the end of the day.
It's exactly what it is. And he's already dealing with the shorthand.
Yeah, for sure. He was already behind the eight ball, no pun intended. And that was pretty bad. But yeah, I think he's got two more years at least to go and try to get it together. You know, because really if Bergman goes and travels, this will be the 1 year that he'll have his team, so to speak. So I don't think he wants any part of Corey on that team. From what I heard from somebody there that where he was like, hey, great job, guys. Good fighting. Everybody, fantastic. Everybody, great job. Corey, you really let us down. I was like, whoa. Like, I mean, legitimately, that's what I heard happen. So, yeah. In this past year, yeah. But no. You know, if he's got his team together, hey, you got to go and show up.
You know? Well, I'll tell you, I'll be the one to say it. If he gets his team, and we all know the player that's not going to be on that team if he gets his team,
yeah,
he can turn right around and say that exactly to himself, because that's his team then, man. And he refuses to let that player on that team who has the track record of winning. If you know, he better be ready to turn around and say it right to himself if it doesn't work out.
Yeah, but that's part of like you
the 2 year term.
But as a coach, you got to go and make those calls, right? For better or worse,
I agree.
You live with it, and you go and you die with it, right? So if you're gonna go and stick your head out and go make controversial,
picks
or whatever. You got to be able to stand behind it, and that goes with getting the accolades if you win or the consequences if you lose. So, chalk it up.
It was controversial when that player was picked to begin with, but Johan looked like a genius.
That's that's a whole podcast worth right there. Right? Just by itself.
We'll see you in December, guys.
Yeah. Right. So I think with that, we can wrap this up. I really appreciate you guys joining me today. It was a good conversation. And you might be hearing a little bit from these two going forward if we continue having these big one pocket matchups.
Yeah, for sure. Appreciate it.
See you guys.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. See you next time.
everyone. Thanks again for listening. If you've liked what you've heard and you want to contribute to the future content that will be made, consider joining the podcast's Patreon at www.patreon.com/queueitup. Becoming a Patreon of the podcast will help to create all of the future content that the podcast will have. Special shout out to Dave Peters, Aaron Taylor, Pete Silsby, Morgan Lupton, Ben Young, Robert Miller, Andy Morse, and Bill Pelham for your generous contributions to the podcast's Patreon. If you ever need any more information on what the Patreon system is or how you can contribute outside of the Patreon, please reach out to the podcast or Nate himself. If you would like to contribute to the podcast for free, consider sharing any podcasts or the podcast page on Facebook itself. Also, leaving a review and a rating if you listen through iTunes. It helps others find the podcast. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back soon with another episode of the Cue It Up podcast.